I want to distinguish today between speaking words in the Spirit, speaking in the Spirit, and speaking out of the flesh. Speaking in the Spirit and speaking out of the flesh. By the way, our brother Guy is up in Chicago, and God sent he and Joe up there for a week or two. He won't be back for another about 10 days, and we're just believing great things are going to happen there. He's on a special assignment. He'll come back and report later what God wants to do. But as we grow in the Lord, and as we allow the Holy Spirit to move in our midst, we will have a dilemma, you might say. This is speaking naturally, speaking in the natural sense, is a problem. We will encounter a problem. As we move away from traditionalism, from the security of our boats, and step out into the Spirit, step out into following the Lord all the way, begin to re-examine ourselves in the light of the Word. As we do that, there's a danger that occurs that you'll not only begin speaking in the Spirit and seeing things happen in the Spirit, but that you'll also begin speaking in the flesh and will get new manifestations of the flesh. Now, that's a problem because someone comes along and they'll say, that wasn't God. Or someone will get up and say, I don't know if this is God or me. You know, and I certainly don't want to give you me, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure if this is God or me. And so how do we know, and what are we going to do about this problem? How do we know when it comes from the flesh, which is negative, or from the Spirit, which is positive? Now, the first thing to say is, you cannot avoid this. That's the first thing to say, is you will not avoid it. There is no golden road. The early church did not avoid it. We will not avoid it. It has never been avoided. Now, there are things that traditional Christianity has done to deal with this that are not helpful. There are things that traditional Christianity has done to deal with this that are not helpful. So I want to show you some false solutions to this problem. I will give some examples in a little while. And I want to show you some true solutions so that you know why we're doing what we're doing, because what we're doing will help to overcome this particular thing. Discipleship is actually the secret, one of the secrets, but one of the main secrets, to avoid getting into the flesh. If we grow in the Lord, if we come to know Him, then we will be able to come out on this side rather than on this side. So that is one of the missing elements. I'll get to it in a minute. Bill?
Do you want to deliver a reason why you said speaking in the Spirit and speaking out?
No.
Flesh?
No. Just a verbal thing. Okay. The first thing is, this is the problem. How can we encourage the Spirit, the spiritual man, the Spirit in each man, without encountering the flesh? How can we encourage the Spirit without encountering the flesh? Answer, you cannot. You cannot. But there are things we can do to encourage the Spirit and crucify the flesh more and more. But just realize from the start, you're never going to come to the place in any church where you completely eliminate the flesh and where you have believers just grow up overnight in the Spirit. It's not possible. Many of you have looked at the things that have happened in our church and in other churches and have said, that's not God. Now, you might be right. No matter who did it, maybe I did it. And you say, well, he might be spiritual, but I just can't buy that. You might be right. You might be wrong. You might be right. The test is the Word of God. The test is the Word of God. Bible. That's one of the tests, and I'm going to show you in the examples that I give you how if you miss the Bible doctrines, that's one of the ways you can find out. It isn't just whether you feel something isn't right or not. Now, that too can be a test. You can have what we call a witness in the spirit. So I'm going to put down something that agrees. All right, I'll put over on this side, agrees with the Word of God. Agrees with the Word of God. The Word of God. And over on this, that's on the positive side. On the negative side, it disagrees with the Bible, with some basic doctrine. That's the first test. That's the chief test. But second of all, you can also get a witness in the spirit. But there's a little danger here in that you can't always distinguish between your spirit and your flesh. You may get a witness, but it might be pickles that you ate that morning, you know, or it might be, you know, a lot of things. What I'm getting at is you can't just trust because you get some kind of a yay or nay that it's of God. But if you are born again, you will get a yay in your spirit. But now remember, your spirit is always not the same thing as your soul. And that's why sometimes you get a yay because you just happen to like Brother Dave, you know, or something else. So this too must be tested. That's all I'm trying to say, is even this spiritual yay or nay must be tested. You might get a nay because you have a mental problem with what's going on, but not a spiritual problem. You may hate a sermon or a message or a word that some brother or sister brings, but it may be spiritual food. But you may have a reaction in the soul because it steps on your toes, you know. So you get a nay. Oh, I don't want to hear that at all. That might be just the very word of God. Or you might get a yay because it pleases you, and it can be in the flesh. So you cannot just trust this until you're better schooled. You can't fully trust this impulse, but I do want to encourage you, go ahead and trust this though, even if you are wrong. Still, I told you that you'll have to test it against the Word, because the Word says this. It says, test every spirit to see whether it be of God. 1 John 4. Test every spirit to see, brethren, beloved, test every spirit to see whether it be of God. And there are many tests in the New Testament that are given to test spirits. But here is a discernment in your spirit. You actually get a yay or a nay. And over here we get a nay. Or you could get even a, I'm not so sure. That's proper. If you're born again, you'll have those kinds of reactions. I'm not sure. I'm going to check that out. Good. That's a good yay, nay, or I'm not so sure. All of that's all right. But the I'm not so sure should turn into a yay or nay sooner or later. But it's like the Holy Spirit's going to say, let me distinguish here. Let's cut this thing a little bit. Let's not just take it as a package. Let's open up the package and see how much is flesh and spirit. That's why you're not so sure. Because if you reject it, there might be some good in it. And if you receive it, there might be some flesh in it. So then you might get a, I'm not sure about that. I'm not clear. My ears aren't that clear right now. My eyes aren't that keen right now. But I'll get that as I come before God, get into His Word. God will show me. God will speak to my spirit. He'll bring a verse up or something like that. Or show me the Word. So that's the test. Anyway, discipleship will help you to grow in this dimension of being able to test, to grow yourself, and to test it. It's a very rich thing. We can't reduce it to a bunch of words. I'm not trying to. I'm only giving you some helpful principles. But this in itself won't reduce it. Circumstances could be another. Circumstances. You know, if a prophet has spoken the word of the Lord, it'll come to pass. Even if it seems sometimes to disagree with the word, remember, you might just be interpreting it in a certain way. Some people can do funny things with the word, you know. So it isn't just the word alone. It isn't just the witness of the Spirit. And it isn't just circumstances. I think these are somewhat in priority. I think the word would have to be the top, the uppermost, and then this witness in the Spirit, and then the circumstances. But I just want to tell you, there are times maybe when circumstances alone speak the loudest from the Lord. So don't make this either, because sometimes you misunderstood the word and the circumstances. You might say, well, gee, I didn't think that brother was in the Lord at all, but boy, the girl was healed. And Jesus said, you know, don't believe me then for the sake of the word, but believe me for the deeds. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes, I'm just giving you. These are principles. These are not. This is not a living word of God. Now, this is a logos principle. This is not a rhema, because I'm not going to tell you how God's going to do it. I'm just giving you the field in which we operate. When these three things line up, you're probably. Now, notice how I say that, because I don't want you to make a rule. These things are probably in line. But you may have to do a lot of searching here in the Word, and you may need to do a lot of growing here in your own spirit before God. Before you get other things, could be your pastor, other believers. You can put down talk it over with mature. Let's put that mature believers. Especially that would mean pastor, elder, you know, those kind of words. But could be a very good friend that you consider mature. So, how do we know how to hear the Lord? Now, you're going to speak what you hear, but your hearing may be impaired. Your hearing may be impaired. So, no problem. Do not react. If some brother gets up and you have a very clear reading from the moment they open their mouth, that brother's in the flesh, that's all right. Don't feel you have to get up and rebuke them. You'll notice that we don't do that in church. I've only done it one time strongly, and a few times I just real mild kind of things, usually go unheeded. But at any rate, but you'll notice we are not at this point, until the leadership is established and until there is some real discipleship among us, we are not jumping on or controlling or stopping or hindering what people say and do. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to let anything go, but we're just keeping a keen eye. And when I say we, I'm mostly talking about me. I'm allowing a lot to happen because I would rather encourage right now the Spirit, even knowing that it might bring forth 90% flesh, than to hinder it. For that 10% Spirit, I would allow lots of flesh. In other words, just to control the flesh right now, as traditional churches do, that may only hinder the Spirit, which then gets you into more flesh. You know, so it's worth it to trust God and fall into a lot of flesh, as long as you've got something going for you. Because if you stay in that boat, you'll never grow. In fact, you'll lose everything you've got. You'll lose what you get in the Spirit. So this is a warfare, and extremely important for us as a church, how to avoid the flesh. Answer, you can't entirely. But with established leadership, I mean God-appointed, God-anointed leadership, recognized by the body, fully functioning, not just titles and names and stuff like that, but in reality, then in an alive body that's sensitive to the Spirit and operating, you will be able then to allow the Spirit, you'll be able to yield to the Spirit, let's put it that way, and you'll be able to test things, and they'll be done in love. You'll be able to do things correctly. For example, sometimes you don't rebuke in public, but you take the brother aside. It depends on who it is and what's said and what effect it will have. Again, you can't set up enough rules here to explain it, so I'm not trying to. I'm only giving you some ideas here that you don't fall off into one trap or another. We're trying to stay down the center, because the devil always leads you to the left or to the right. He's got a lot of territory to get you into. Some people fall off too much this way, others too much this way, and I'll show you in a minute what I mean by that. All right? So the solution is that with discipleship and leading to, remember, Jesus discipled long before he picked his leaders. Jesus discipled his men before he established them as leaders. And out of this group will not come 30 elders. You know, we have some 30 men. We're not going to get 30 elders. Well, maybe we will, but it wouldn't be that way when we establish elders. But there'll be some among us who will be elders, others who will be deacons, others who will have other special ministries and so on. Each man will have a ministry, but not everyone will be called an elder. It's not our decision. We don't get to decide how many would we like to have. We'll have to listen to God. So as we pray together, God will tell us who the mature are, who the elders are, who the ministers are, who the deacons are, and so on. This will all come in time. First, we have to just learn to hear the Lord in some simple things. There's no point in trying to hear for an elder right now if we don't know how to hear just for our own sins. If you can't hear for your own sins and your own life and little things, you're never going to hear them for something big. And eldership and leadership is big. It's important. Because if you get the wrong elders or the wrong leaders, which is what the church has done for centuries, then the church will never grow. You'll never get beyond those elders, leaders. And that's what's bogging down 90% of the churches. Well, I'd say more than that. But most of the churches are bogged down because they are not God-appointed and God-anointed elders and deacons and leaders, but they are men-appointed. Now, how then can we eliminate this? We can't, but at least we can learn to reign over it. That we can do. And I tell you, there is no magic answer. There is no magic answer. We will continually have to contend with this. You want to not depend on God? It won't happen. You're going to have to depend on God minute by minute. Oh, it would be great if we could just say, now we passed point A. We don't have any flesh come up in our church at all. You know, that will never happen. You will constantly be on guard. You read the book of Acts. They never got rid of it. But they did grow. They did get strong. But the bigger they got stronger, the bigger things would come. You know, the devil is going to hit you with stuff all the time. So God will arrange it, though, that you won't get too big of things until you're ready. Isn't that good of God? You'll never be tempted beyond your strength. That's an individual thing, but that's also a church thing. You can read the book of Acts and see that they did not kill Peter the first day. That would have been a blow. You know, they just lost Jesus. Boy, if they'd have lost him, that'd have been it. You know, they'd have said, wow, let's back up. You know, let's back up. But what happened was every time the Lord grew his people, it said that the word increased and the disciples increased. Then the enemy came. Then the Lord increased and the disciples increased. Then, you know, and it just keeps going. And if you want to get off that train, don't do what you're doing now. Because that is the way it is. That's the normal thing. And they would have great seasons of joy and harvest. And they would have great seasons of persecution and trouble. You cannot get rid of that. If you don't want that, if you want peace all the time, you don't want to be part of this. You don't want to be part of the Church of Jesus Christ. Because the Church of Jesus Christ is as it is in the book of Acts. It gets better and better and better, but it's also tougher and tougher and tougher. But by the time you become a lover, you won't care. You see, I mean, looking at it ahead of time, if God told us what was coming, you'd quit. But the thing is that God is drawing us to himself. Then you wouldn't quit. If you knew what the whole thing was about, it isn't about how tough the enemy is, it's how beautiful God is. And you'll learn that all of these things only increase the thing you're trying to do. Every trial or test or trouble, whatever comes against you, will only increase the work of God. I guess I'm supposed to be taping this. I don't know. Praise the Lord. I can't get used to these things. All right. So how to eliminate answer cannot. And so please, you know, right now it's a teaching. It's not very real, but I'm going to give a few examples to start making it real. But it's going to happen in our church. It has happened in our church. It will continue to happen in our church and any other church too. And these are the false solutions. The first false solution is don't allow spirituality. Now, that is a good solution that some have figured out. Why is it a good solution? Well, if you don't want the flesh, here's the way to do it. Eliminate the spirit. Just don't let people get up in the spirit. Don't let the gifts of the spirit flow. What will happen? Well, you won't get anything then. You'll end up in the flesh. The very thing you thought you were eliminating, you did eliminate some abuses. You know, nobody got up and swang from the chandeliers, right? You know, and that's a relief. But then you also happen to lose the presence of God. And that was what the whole thing was about. You strained out a camel or a gnat and swallowed a camel. And this is the evangelical liberal solution. Both evangelical and liberals they're afraid of the Holy Spirit. Afraid, fear. Afraid of the Holy Spirit. Now, before you judge them and get mad at them, I just want to tell you, those guys are pretty smart because they saw what happened to some other people that weren't afraid and got into lots of flesh. And rightly so. They saw, correctly so, boy, you can get into the flesh so easily in this stuff. And don't think you can't. Boy, it's tough. Unless you do it the right way, you won't make it. And so these guys rightly figured out, I don't think we're mature enough to handle it. Now, they didn't know they were saying that, but that's really what they were saying. We don't know God well enough to be able to distinguish God from the devil, from the flesh. So we better just hang back into traditions. We'll just stick with our traditions, and that's why the evangelicals stick with the Bible so much. Doctrine, because they feel they're pretty safe there. They use doctrine as a hedge against the presence of the living God. Now, they don't mean to do that, and
And I can sympathize with them greatly because they rightly understand that, look, you read the book of Acts. You read the things that happened to these guys. There's no rules. There's no rules. There's no map. Nobody had gone before to draw them a map. You know, you don't get a map when you're a Christian. You get the Holy Spirit, who's a guide. And He knows the way, but He doesn't tell you ahead of time. Now, He'll just give you some simple things like, come. Oh, no. Where are we going? You know, and when you're sensitive to the Spirit, you don't get, you know, He may give you a scripture, but He won't give you all the scriptures. If He gives you a vision, He won't tell you the details. If he shows you the mountains far off, He says, we are going to yonder mountain. That, well, wonderful. I know right where I'm going. I'll just walk from here over to here. But what He didn't tell you was there are chasms and rivers and alligators and, you know, all kinds of things between here and there. And you will need the Holy Spirit to guide you every step along the way. So what looks so easy from up here on a hill, and you don't see this big valley in here, is just to go from there to there. What you don't know is you'll need a guide to make it through the thing. You say, oh, that's just a small swamp, because from this vantage point, what you see is the far distant mountain, and it looks like it's just a few miles away, not too far. But have you ever done that? You've driven over a hill, and you've just seen a mountain not too far away. It looks, oh, it's just a few blocks away, it looks. But when you actually get into it and you go down these valleys, you find, oh, my goodness, when are we ever going to get there? And it takes forever. So the Holy Spirit is a guide, not a map giver. So the Bible here is a book, but you cannot use it just as a map. That's what principled people try to do. They try to take the Bible and make a map out of it. Well, it will tell you some things. That's true. And you'll need it along the way. Because the Holy Spirit cannot directly tell you everything either. You must follow the map also to an extent. You must follow the map also to an extent. So, all right. Here's the thing. As a man of God, when I meet a person, what I want to know is I don't want to know spiritual things from them. I want to know the whole man. If you know a man after the Spirit, you're going to be deceived. Say, you know, I just want to see the spiritual part of the man and forget about this part. Well, this part's going to be mixed in. So I want to know the whole man that I'm dealing with. I don't want to just know his spiritual part. Praise God! You know, they can just go on and on. That's all spiritual and it's all beautiful. And they're saying the right words, and they got faith galore, and you're built up and strengthened. But watch out, because they may also have a flesh. You better test them. You better find out their credentials. See what letters they have from the brethren before. And I tell you, these days, so much is done with PR, you don't really know just because a man has a slick brochure. You don't know where he came from, what debris lies behind him. You know, there was a great man of God, international in scope. His name is so big. He came here to Fort Worth. He had, I don't want this on tape, but he had slept with all kinds of women. And the women in this town and in Dallas knew about him, and they gave warning to me in a certain group I was in and said, you know, be careful of that brother because this and that and so on and so forth. And I said, look, I can't take what you say, but I'll take it before the Lord and I'll pray about it to see what I'm to do, because this brother was to stay in some of the homes here, and they didn't want him in their homes. So I went to this brother after prayer, and I said, brother, you know, I'm a nobody. You don't know me, and I really don't know you. But this is what, you know, this is what the Lord has brought me to do. And so I shared with him, I cannot accuse you, I cannot rebuke you, I don't know. But if you are in the sin of lust, then you need to confess it. And he said, what was that? I said, lust. What was that? And he asked me several times because he could not hear that word. And I said, lust, L-U-S-T. It was like we weren't communicating. And all of a sudden, you know, he was very strong up to that point. All of a sudden, his face fell. And I said, brother, if you have, I said, I don't care if you have or you haven't, but if you have, I will pray with you right now and we'll get rid of that thing. And it doesn't mean anything to me. It doesn't mean you're not a man of God. But you better repent right now, because if that thing is true, your name is going to be exposed, not by me, but by others. And he did repent, and he and so on and so forth. Now, I did not follow it through. I just simply gave that warning, received that thing, and so on and so forth. But all I'm trying to tell you is you don't want to just... And that man had just, the last time he was here, he had given this beautiful teaching on the threefold cord is not easily broken. He and his wife and the Lord. That's the threefold cord. And he just had shared so strongly on that that you thought, now there is a marriage. The way, because his wife wasn't there. But great, I know there was debris after this, but I don't know what really happened because the man never returned again. He never came back to the city. But this man was of international repute, a very powerful man used in communist countries and so on and so forth. So we get into the flesh when we begin to open ourselves up to the Lord. And God knows that. And God is not down on our case, but hey, there's a lot of things in here what we're to do about that. Now, let me give some examples. I want to know the whole man before I'm hit with a lot of spirituality. And before you listen to people just get up and say, the Lord told me, remember we're to test that. You're going to have a witness in your spirit that'll have to be tested by the Word. You're going to have to test that thing by the Word of God to see whether it's so. And remember, you yourself may not really be able to. If you've got a blind spot in that very area, you can't see clearly. If you're not clean in that area, you won't be able to see. I couldn't rebuke that man. That man would not have received what I said unless I was personally clean. If I had been, and I'm not talking about convincing him, I'm talking about our spirits would speak to each other. He would know right away whether I was a warrior. He saw I was of no account, you know, just a local pastor of some sort is nothing. But he would know whether I knew in the spirit, and there would be a talking there, and he received it. I mean, I don't know how far it went. I'm just telling you what happened, that I know too many examples of this, and as pastors, we get in the back room, we get in the back door, and see too many things that are full of debris of popular, well-known, and otherwise, local and extra-local. And it grieves, to me, it grieves my heart to see that, because I know that no one's going to talk to them. It isn't so much that they're in sin and they can't get out. It's that no one will ever rebuke them or talk to them because they're not into any kind of group. They have no friends that will love them that much, or people are intimidated by them or afraid by them and so on. So they're never going to be tested over here. And that is unscriptural. You know, they need friends. I was a friend to that man. I don't really know what happened. I mean, I don't know how that man, but I would hope if that man were a man of God that he would realize that was the living God, not some local pastor. I hope you forgot my name. But some God got to him and spoke to him and said, brother, you're exposed. I mean, one thing, he couldn't walk away ever again and not know he was exposed. I didn't follow it, as I said. That was the end of it. I only had to protect my little flock there, and I didn't feel any further responsibility for, you know, following it up. But the thing is, I want to know a man both. I don't want to know just who you are. I want to know where you are. I don't want to just know who you are in Christ. I want to know where you are. I'm talking about in terms of receiving from you and giving to you. That's important. We need to know where a man is, and that means, you know, how far he has grown. Hey, these are forgivable. These are inconsistencies, blind spots, and et cetera, et cetera. Now, it may remove you from the ministry. I believe such a man should not be in the ministry. I don't know whether he should or he shouldn't, but I personally would not have such a man. I would never invite such a man, you know. I believe that was something that should, you know, that's clearly in the Scripture. That man should not be qualified, you see. Now, before he was a Christian, that's one thing. But after he has come into the covenant and then become a man of God and then has that kind of testimony, I believe that's a snare. Now, maybe if he had gotten up publicly and repented and so on and so forth, I might reconsider. I don't know. I'd have to dig into the Scripture. I don't have all the answers myself. I would have to test that. But at least I know one thing. Without repenting, I would never trust that man. I mean, publicly. He may have repented to me privately and gone off. I mean, I have no guarantee what the man did after that. But I know he was left in a snare. That man is under the enemy's grasp, you see. The accuser also tempted. First, the accuser was a tempter. He tempted him, and then as soon as he did, he accused him. And then he kept him going out of guilt and many other things. And that man couldn't get out. Now, whether he broke out that day, I don't know. But we have to watch people getting up in the flesh, and they're just sharing their own thing. They're just sharing their own. They're sharing out of their soul. We call that soulishness. That's soulless religion. If we go for the spirit and get the soul, we've lost. If we want to seek the spirit, then we have to admit with many of our accusers in the religious realm out there, a lot of the stuff we say is in the spirit is nothing but sideshow. It's sideshow. All right, now let me give an example. The other night in our body, I've discussed it with one or two of you, there was a person here who began to weep as we began to sing in tongues. And he just began to weep and wail. Well, God weeps and wails. So that's quite proper that God could weep and wail. But as I listened to the spirit of what he said, not only the words that he gave in a tongue, but also the spirit of it, I sensed this was not God. But I checked myself. And I didn't get up and rebuke the brother. But I did not feel from the time it first began that it was really of God. I did not feel it was a tongue. I felt that he was certainly speaking in tongues, but that the spirit of it was soulish, and it was coming right out of his soul. Either he had personal hurts and problems that we were listening to, and he was just crying out to God. I was listening to see if God was crying. What I was listening to is to see, is this God weeping over us? Maybe some sin we have, some blindness and so on, trusting that this was a word from God first. And as I listened more and more, and the man kept going and kept going and kept going and kept going and kept going, I realized more and more, I do not believe this is God, but I'm not positive yet. And I kept testing it, asking the Spirit, seeking the Scripture, seeking the Lord's face. Is this the Lord? And it doesn't matter whether I'm correct or not. It's the example I'm giving you as a teaching. The man kept whimpering and going on and on. It wasn't like it was a time and then quitting. It just kept going on and on. And I sensed that we were to break that and just to stop that at a certain point. And then another word came forth at that point, which presumably would have been an interpretation, but it was not an interpretation. It was not even a prayer to God. It was more just a praise for what God had done. It wasn't God speaking to us, and it wasn't even a prayer to God. It was just a celebration of what God had done, and therefore very accurate. Now, this man was not inaccurate. This man who wept, the weeping can be from God. I sensed that it was not, that it came out of the man's soul, and that we were hearing a soulish tongue. The tongue might even have been of God, but the way it was given went into, all right, then several things came to me, that this was traditional Pentecostalism of a certain type, a traditional Pentecostal. Now, the only way I could really know that is if I follow that man around or if he comes again, and the next time we pray, it's the same weep, you know. Now, it still doesn't prove it. It may still be of God. It may be that God was weeping and really seeking to rebuke us or to catch us to see how hurt he is over something. So I wouldn't say just because it's a possibility, that means it is. You understand, I'm only trying to teach you here to say how to discern. But I sensed in the spirit, I had a spiritual witness that this man was a traditional Pentecostal. There were many reasons why. And that this was a form and not a reality. Now, maybe the first time he did it, it was reality. Maybe the 18th time he did it was reality. But if God does it that way every single time, I'll guarantee you it's not God. If God does it every time like that, if you only always laugh, it's not God. Now, maybe for a week or a month. And I'm not trying to limit God, because God can do anything. As far as I'm concerned, if he could get one brother to be a weeping prophet for his whole life, I'll accept that. But basically what I'm saying is, hey, I can trust myself to this extent. That's not God. Okay? Now, without setting myself up in any way, we're learning how to listen here more accurately. I believe this brother gave this tongue, and I knew, because we have not given a lot of teaching on it, that the word that came forth afterward looked like an interpretation, but it was not an interpretation. Definitely not an interpretation. But it was something else. It was also kind of a coming forth, which was in the Lord, it was in the Spirit, but it looked like it was related to that other thing. Well, we didn't do anything with it. We went on, and I had David get up, who was also sensitive. David also was praying, and Bill also here. And we were in prayer, and we could look at one another to see, you know, what is this? What's going on? And we just went on then with the service and David praying and so on. So we left it at that point. Everyone who thought there was a tongue, now we should have an interpretation, they were satisfied. You know, we got one. But the point is, it was in the flesh. That's what I'm trying to point out. It was in the flesh. It was not. And I waited also after that second word. I waited for another word. I said, Lord, if you're weeping, I'll wait. Because it may well be I'm wrong. Even though I don't think so, it may well be I'm wrong. And I waited to see if God would speak. Now, God's not shy, and he knows how to use us. So I don't care about the limitations of people. If God wants to get a word across, he can. And there was opportunity for it. But no word came. It again, confirmed to me this man was in the flesh. Okay, that's example number one. And all kinds of things can follow from that. So that's going to happen in the body at large. Praise God it happened here. It was sweet enough. There was no problem and so on and so forth. But should that happen again, then the next time one brother was told, put your hand upon this brother. The Lord told him, that this is not a tongue. He didn't have all these words, but he just knew what he was to do. Put your hand on the brother. He needs personal ministry. Now, the next time that happens, I believe we'll hear more accurately. You know, I believe we'll not only, whoa, what's this? Oh, this is all, you know, I don't know what this is. And that was the lesson right there, is learn. But I think the next time we'll know, when we hear that, we'll recognize that and say, maybe. You have to test this every time. There's no rules here. But maybe this man needs ministry. So if you hear someone, they go on, that may be God. Please don't ever assume that's not God. Boy, you're going to miss God so quick if you think that's Pentecostal flesh. That may be God. But listen for it. Listen in your spirit. Check it by the word. I can't tell you all the things to do, but basically don't assume. Test every spirit. This is what I'm saying to you now. That doesn't prove anything. Okay, see, yeah, we don't know. You don't know. See, that's why I'm trying to be very careful here. Now, here are some things we do know. These are scriptural. A word that comes from the Lord should be edifying. If you get fear out of it, or if you get depression out of it, that's not from God. Now, it may be on your side. It may be that the word wasn't fearful and depressing, and you just picked it up because you were already vulnerable to that. But if it's fear-inspiring or depressing or something, that's not from God. These words are given for exhortation, for inspiration, for edification, for comfort. It says clearly, and this is in 1 Corinthians 14, these are why words are given, especially to comfort, to edify, and to exhort. So listen for the interpretation then that comes forth. Now, it may be that Don had the interpretation, but Don was a little slow in giving it, and Ed got up and gave a word right away, and that wasn't an interpretation. You see? So maybe Ed then, or maybe Don then says, well, I guess Ed gave the interpretation, so my word isn't like Ed, so I'm just going to be quiet. But maybe Ed didn't give the word. What he gave was a word of exhortation, but it wasn't an interpretation of the tongue. And I'm just using this as an example. So we still have to wait. Now, I don't do this in the service. If somebody gives a tongue and the next person that gets up shares something that I know is not the interpretation, I don't stop it. I don't say anything because we're learning, and I'm trying to encourage people to use their gifts. I'm not trying to teach right now how to hear God accurately. Okay? Do you see the difference? Because my hope is in you. I'm hoping that as we begin to grow, we will learn how to discern when God is speaking and when He's not. So I'm not so worried that someone's going to be in the flesh. I'm praying that God will protect us from a lot of that and blow it off. Just forget it. But I do know that many of the words, in fact, most of the words that we've received have not been interpreted. And many of the tongues may not be accurate. It's okay, though, because what we're trying to do is encourage people to do it, and I want people to do it. So I just want you to understand why I don't get up and say sometimes, that's a teaching and not an exhortation. That is interpretation. That is this, and this is that, and so on. Grady? Right. It's a good question. I believe, like Jesus said of the Pharisees, you can listen to their doctrine when it agrees with the Word of God, but just don't do what they do. You know, now that I'm not saying anything more than what you asked me. I'm not saying what else should be done, but I'm just simply saying I can receive a word from God from a man who's not a man of God in purity. I can receive a word from all kinds of people, even that are not men of God. I can receive words of God from men that are not even men of God. This is a man of God, I'm sure, who fell into a blindness and now brackish stuff comes out of his mouth. I would not trust the brother ever. But then we're not to trust anybody, so that's okay. But when I was in his presence, I would be especially cautious, because a man whose life is not right, you sooner or later, I guarantee his doctrine will be wrong. A man whose life is not right, sooner or later his doctrine will be wrong. So I would be very cautious of such a man, but I wouldn't say he could never speak the word of the Lord. I wouldn't say his message wasn't good. I know many examples where I think men are in the flesh, are in sin, open sin, in rebellion, but I believe their words are beautiful words. I can see sometimes they have really uplifted and given true words, and they even know it. You know, they even know it. I'm sure Elmer Gantry and Marjo and, you know, this type of a picture, they can help people. Many times we know people have been healed and so on. It's not the vessel. It's the words are in the vessel. But I'm not saying the vessel doesn't count, because the vessel does count, and we must watch that. But anyway, let's stick close to home right now rather than get out there and solve the world's problems. We're just trying in our own body. Now, let me give another example. Oh, I can't. Praise the Lord. But you just simply pray and ask God about this. about how to discern. And just don't get upset right now. Don't get excited. We're encouraging the people to come forth. We know they'll come forth in the flesh. It's all right. And as time goes on and leaders are established and we learn ourselves how to discern better and better, we'll get up and say, brother, that was out of order. Sister, you know, that was not from God. But we won't do it maybe that harshly. It all depends. We might do it very mildly. If they're a new Christian, I might be very mild. I might not say anything. We might take them aside later. There's no rules here. You just have to be sensitive. But I just want you to know, if we don't say anything, it doesn't mean we don't believe it's in the flesh. Many things you've heard here have been in the flesh. You're right, or you could be right. That's all right. Now, you fast, you pray, you seek God, you try to hear the Lord, you come and you share what you hear the Lord saying. And in this case, you'll just have to relate to me at this point as a man of God and come to me if you heard something and said, Pastor, was that of God? Was that really of God? Because I thought this, or I got this word. And, you know, we can talk about that and so on. So for right now, don't take on big responsibilities like, well, I'm never going to do that because, or, you know, don't make a lot of big conclusions. Just relax. You know, it's all right. God will protect us. I truly believe God will protect us from flesh. I think the only thing he wants is he's not afraid. By the way, the other group here, this was group number one, but the other group that solved this problem just said, let the flesh go. In order to have the spirit, let's also have the flesh. And they just traditionalize the flesh, you know, and they just make a tradition out of it. That's the way they protect themselves from abuses. They set up the chandeliers, you know. Okay, now it's time to swing, you know. You understand what I'm saying? That's not because they don't believe also that there's a lot that's sideshow. It's just that they felt like we want to have the Spirit, though, and in order to get the Spirit at all, we've got to allow this. Well, that's a bad solution, but I understand why they made that solution. At least you get the Spirit that way sometimes. And unmistakably so. Those churches that allow the Spirit to move, they see miracles. They see God working. They see the hand of God. I'm afraid they also see a lot of other stuff that they didn't bargain for. And God doesn't want that. God wants us to neither resist the Holy Spirit nor to yield to Him and then allow all the other stuff too. It's a difficult thing, but He'll guide us. He'll teach us. He'll show us. Do you understand the difference between soulishness and spirituality, the difference between flesh and spirit? Let's close in prayer.